The Academy Awards will be given out later this month, and among the most nominated films is Belfast. It's up for 7 Oscars, including Best Picture. And Sir Kenneth Branagh has also been nominated for Best Director and Best Original Screenplay. The film was inspired by Branagh's own childhood. It's set around a working-class North Belfast family in the 1960s. Everyone knows 9-year-old Buddy and looks out for him. But his idyllic world is shattered when a marauding mob of angry Protestants come looking for the minority Catholic, setting off car bombs and smashing windows. And his parents have to decide whether to stay or leave for England.
This is the time to think about making a new start.
I know nothing else but Belfast.
Exactly. There's a whole world out there. We can give these boys a better chance than we ever had.
Kenneth Branagh spoke with Robin Young about Belfast last November.
Sir Kenneth, welcome back. May I call you Ken?
You most certainly can. Of course.
Well, welcome back. And what a love letter to your childhood.
Yes, there was a way of looking back at a moment in my childhood and the story of trying to understand what followed from a great moment of change was what the film became about.
Yeah, well, let's give a little context here. This time, which would last around 30 years, starting in the 60s, was called the Troubles. Northern Ireland had been carved out of Ireland by Britain. Unionists and Loyalists, mostly Protestants, wanted Northern Ireland to remain within the UK. Irish Nationalists, Republicans, mostly Catholic, wanted Northern Ireland to leave the UK and join a united Ireland. This explodes on your street. We see it. Is that a memory?
It is an indelible memory of August the 15th, 1969, when many such incidents were happening all over Belfast, which in my case involved the ground literally being pulled from beneath our feet when the sound of bumblebees, but no, it wasn't bumblebees, down at the end of the street, what was for a second a swarm of such things became not a swarm, but this rioting mob. They picked up the paving stones. Those paving stones, a few hours later, became barricades. And the world was literally turned upside down. And certainly my life was never the same again.
Well, in the film, you know, it opens in this black and white kind of, again, memory. And we see the 9-year-old you, played by Jude Hill, remarkable young actor. And you're skipping through this neighborhood and children are running in and out of houses and the houses are all on top of each other and people's backyards and everything is all connected. And then suddenly, did you turn and see that?
Yes. I mean, this thing that I remember so powerfully, which was that if you were being called in for your tea, as I was, then your own mother would stand on a doorstep, yell your name, and across streets, it seemed like streets away, the same name would be sent along with a sort of, jungle telegraph that got to you, and eventually you would come home. And in this case, to suddenly see what had been a very functioning sort of expression, as I think of it, of the idea that it takes a village to raise a child. That village was uprooted when the job of that mob on that occasion was to come through and mark the houses of the Catholics in the street to say, we know where you are, and to begin the process of pressuring them to leave. So it made for a sense of being involved in a sort of miniature revolution and the difficulties of then understanding why people who yesterday were your friends and neighbors were no longer there and were now being labeled with some other kind of handle was really something that it was almost impossible for a 9-year-old to understand.
And by the way, we should say the film has joy as well, humor, but trouble. And for your family in particular, you were Protestant. It was the Protestant majority that was leading, as you said, the attacks on the minority Catholics who've been asking for more rights. How did that impact your family?
It was hard not to feel part of that tension and be trying to find a way through what in our case was, I would say, a nominal allegiance to our religious badge. I mean, we were Protestants and we did indeed go to church, but there was a sense that this was less out of a sort of religious conviction and more out of an adherence to a longstanding sort of social tradition, which was separate from our Catholic neighbors who went to a different church. I think my parents basically believed that all folk were equal and it didn't matter what their religion was or what the color of their skin was or any of the above. And so for those divisions to somehow now, in this case, lead to what was in that month of August, the greatest displacement of people in a European city since the Second World War, was for everybody, I think, deeply disturbing and alarming.
Yeah, and ultimately your family does decide to leave. Were your parents really as sexy as Katrina Balfe, who plays your mom, who we all know from Outlander, and then Jamie Dornan, 50 Shades of Grey? So full of life, this couple. And they knew this ground the way you did.
Yes, I mean, Katrina lived on the border with the North. She's from the south of Ireland, but she lived on the border, was very aware of this period of history. Jamie Dornan grew up in just outside Belfast and considered himself very much a Belfast man. They convey in the picture, I would say, the sort of passionate sizzle that I witnessed in my parents. They had a kind of movie star lust for life.
Well, you know, I was wondering, well, two things. I should follow up on the thought of the conflict around them. Do you remember, I mean, how your parents felt? Because here they were Protestants who refused to support the Protestant mobs. Your family was in danger.
Everybody who was in, you know, in that situation was variously in danger because the violence was spilling out at any kind of time and at any kind of moment. And it was a volatile situation where everybody was on a sort of code red. And also because the violence was so unpredictable, it was very, very hard day to day, moment to moment to sort of navigate your way through it. It felt that we were living sort of under siege and with this curious dichotomy between hearing a word on the street in very close-knit neighborhoods and then seeing it lived out on the television news and not really knowing what was true. It's one of the ways in which Buddy, I think, becomes very confused and in some ways looks to the screen for a sort of way of understanding it.
Right. Buddy and his brother literally studying these American films, High Noon, The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. And then later, when there is a serious confrontation between your father and some of the rioters, it almost, in, it feels like in your memory, you had turned it into High Noon, a face-off in some Western town, you know. Is that why you're an actor, a writer, a director?
I think that there was a sense in me that at that time in Belfast, before all of this kicked off, I had a sense of knowing who I was and knowing how I fitted into the world. When that was ruptured, I think that what began then was in a way a sort of life of disguise. You know, you left street family, you ended up sounding different, you ended up going into the world of the arts in a way that ultimately also often led to the attempt to form extended families. This is my 19th feature film, and many people were in the first one who are in this one, you know, and there's been that sense of an extended creative family, which I think is an environment in which I thrive. And it's one that I most closely associate with my early years growing up in Belfast.
Yeah, it is your story, of course, slightly fictionalized. But I thought you might appreciate this anecdote about its universality. I happen to see it at a favorite theater here in the Boston area. It's the Coolidge Theater, and they have small screening rooms. And I was assigned Marvin, the security guard, to watch with me. You know, maybe I'd steal the movie. I don't know. And at the end, you know, your family leaves. And I just was sobbing, I think. And then I realized, wait, someone else is sobbing. And I turn around, and there's Marvin, the security guard. He's from Haiti. And he said, I don't know. I didn't know why they were fighting. I didn't know about this. And it's just like me.
Oh, goodness me. Goodness me.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. When we showed the film at the London Film Festival, an Iranian filmmaker came up to me afterwards and said, that's my story. And then a Nigerian man, as I was leaving the building, said, that's my story as well. So maybe in that way that allows us in the sharing of stories to let people understand that we are not alone. That is at the heart of why it's valuable for us all to share our stories. We all have one. And in this case, I'm, you know, very touched that it's reaching way beyond the north of Ireland.
The film is Belfast. Sir Kenneth Branagh, thank you so much for talking to us about it.
Thank you.
Well, the sleepless night, I had a kind of dream for sure. When I woke up in the morning, felt like I was coming down to joy.
That interview first aired last November. Belfast is up for 7 Oscars, including one for this song, Van Morrison's Down to Joy.